Welcome to A Teaspoon of Healing, where we explore the pathways to wellness and vibrant living. Listen to personal stories of healing and interviews with experts. It's time to open a doorway to healing in your life through positive changes. Here is your host, Dawn Damari.
Hi, I'm Dawn Damari, and you're listening to A Teaspoon of Healing. And thank you for tuning in to our very first episode. In this podcast, we will explore the various pathways to wellness and vibrant living. We'll feature interviews with health and wellness experts, nutritionists, and people who want to share their own stories of healing. Visit our website, www.teaspoonofhealing.com, to learn more about the show, read the blog, or download transcripts of other shows. You can also contact me on there if you want to be on the show or if you have any questions you'd like me to answer. Well, today's guest is Tracy Dean. Tracy is a breast cancer survivor, and she is the founder of an organization called Team Tracy D, which helps those who have been diagnosed with breast cancer. She will share a lot of tips with you, so stay tuned for that.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute medical advice. Please consult a physician or other health professional before undertaking changes in lifestyle or wellness habits. The author claims no responsibility to any person or entity for any liability, loss, or damage caused or alleged to be caused directly or indirectly as a result of use, application, or interpretation of the information presented herein.
And before we get into our interview, let's hear from one of our sponsors, Goff Tours.
Hi, this is Goff, owner of Goff Tours, specializing in stand-up paddleboarding or surfing lessons. I even do snorkeling. You can reach me here. Orange County has what you're looking for. You can contact me via email at gofftours@gmail.com or mobile number is 949-338-5937, gofftours.com.
Hi, I'm Dawn Damari. Today we have a guest with us, Tracy Dean. Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I am well. How are you, Dawn?
I'm good. And thank you so much for joining us today for the interview.
You're very welcome.
You reside in Laguna Beach, California, where I also live.
Yes, I do.
We're almost neighbors. So, Tracy, you're a breast cancer survivor.
I am.
So I wanted to talk to you about your story of healing, and the pathway to wellness that you've achieved after surviving cancer and whatever changes you've done in your lifestyle. And hopefully this will inspire people who have either been recently diagnosed themselves with breast cancer or who know someone, a friend or a family member who's recently been diagnosed and they want to be lifted up and hear a story of healing.
Absolutely.
So Tracy, tell our listeners about your story. When were you diagnosed and where did it go from there?
This July will be 4 years since my initial diagnosis. I have completed all of my treatments and surgeries as of 2 years. And I did the chemotherapy. I did targeted treatment of Herceptin, which is for the type of cancer I had, HER2 new positive, which basically means it's an aggressive form of cancer. I also had estrogen positive cancer. So I was put into early menopause, which totally sucks, but I got through it. I'm still going through it. You get hot flashes, weight gain, just initial no children type of crap that came with it. Pardon my French.
When you first were told that you had to be put in early menopause, I mean, how did you handle that? Because I'm assuming you were pretty young.
I was 43 when I was diagnosed, and I went to a specialist in Newport Beach to see where I stood since I was older for childbearing. I basically had given up on trying to have a relationship and have a baby. I was going to do it by myself and found a specialist who basically could tell you where you were at with production and eggs, and there's some tests you can do now. And that's why I actually went. And during the exam, the lump was found. So I never even did the tests. And unfortunately, the type of breast cancer I had was, we have to put you in menopause. Of course, I wish I would have froze some eggs back in the day, but I didn't. So I guess there's a reason for everything, and we'll find that out later on down the road.
Wow. So that's quite,
that
you went in there. Yeah. Cause you went in there you know, first some testing for the eggs. So you had no symptoms at all of any kind of cancer symptoms, or just had you been feeling tired or?
You know, now that I look back, I had a lot of symptoms, but when you're going through everyday life, you just, you seem to put yourself last, which is one of the things I no longer do in my recovery. I did feel that lump in October of the same year that I was diagnosed in July. I just didn't think about it because I was busy. I was extremely tired all the time, and I was very stressed out. I also saw a lot of yellow around my eyes, especially in photographs. And I remember always thinking, why is there so much yellow around my eyes? There were some signs that I now know were signs of cancer that I didn't know then. And I have learned that stress, especially for women, is a huge factor, not only in cancer, but in all ailments of health. And I've since changed my lifestyle because I never want to go through any of that again. So yes, you know, I think that when there are little light bulbs that go off in your head, like, wow, I'm tired, or I've hit the wall, I can't think straight, or I'm achy, or just in general changes in your skin or eyesight, you just, you really have to care about yourself and take notice of the changes you feel. It could be nothing, or it could unfortunately be something. Not to be a hypochondriac, but just to be aware of your body and your feelings.
Absolutely. That's really good advice, because a lot of times we can just ignore it and think, oh, I've been working really hard, so I'm tired, or yeah, this feels off, but you know, and you just move along. No, you're right. To have that checked. Okay. So after you got that diagnosis and then we're told you had to be put in early menopause, and what kind of happened next?
I've always been a pretty healthy person, and I said I would never do chemotherapy. So many people say that, oh, if I have cancer, I'm never doing it. I'm going to Mexico. I'm going to do alternatives. Well, when you are told that you have cancer, the number one thing you think about is, I don't want to die, period. And yes, in a perfect world, acupuncture, coffee colonics, and going to Mexico, and you know, all turmeric and this and that all sounds wonderful in a perfect world when you are not told that you have cancer. And it also is not cheap. It's very, very expensive. And it is no holistic approach to disease, unfortunately, is covered under health insurance. Very bizarre. I remember the plethora of drugs that I could buy for $4 with my insurance. I pretty much said, well, I have to do this way because this is the way that I'll live, hopefully, if I survive the treatment, because health insurance will pay for it. And at the end of the day, that's really sad. My other choice when I, well, I found it very disheartening. I went to the library and there were not a lot of books on breast cancer. Somehow, since I feel, well, I don't know if this is true, but since I was diagnosed, I feel like breast cancer has become so popular, but maybe it always has been. I just wasn't involved, but now there's tons of books and tons of material. But 4 years ago, there just didn't seem like there was a lot of information out there. And like I said, that could just be because I wasn't an advocate, you know, of research back then for it. You don't even have to lose your hair if you do chemotherapy. In Europe, it's offered in every oncologist's office, these caps, ice caps that you can use.
Wait, like, really?
If you freeze the follicles and stop the blood, I don't know all the, I don't want to talk about it because I don't really know statistics or the reasons why it works, but something about freezing the medicine, the chemotherapy can't get to the follicles as much. But here I wanted to do it, and it would have been $500 to $1,000 a session, not covered by insurance. So there's so many easier ways you can go through treatments had if insurance would cooperate a little bit more, because the physical aspects of cancer treatment for breast cancer, one of the drugs that I believe it's Taxotere, is why you lose your hair. And besides having mastectomies and losing your breasts and the surgery and the sickness of the medicine, losing your hair, the physical transformation is just brutal. I may be off track now what we're talking about.
No, it's important, because people that are listening, or people that know someone who've
been
diagnosed, there's a lot of changes that happen. And it can be definitely very brutal. And I liked what you brought up about the insurance as well. People will say, oh, I'm not going to do chemo. But when it comes, you want to get the cancer out and you have to be able to afford it.
Yeah.
And if your insurance makes things more affordable.
I did. But yeah, back, I remember now what you asked me before I went on a ADD trip. Basically, I immediately had a port put in because my veins would not have been able to handle the infusions. So a port is actually hooked up to an artery so that all of your medication can be put through your chest. It makes life a lot easier. A lot of people who have good veins can do their medication through their arms. I just couldn't.
Okay.
So I immediately did that. And I tried to avoid chemotherapy at all costs. Like, I just procrastinated that being the last thing I did. And I originally just went in and had a single mastectomy on the breast that had cancer. And I was lucky enough that very few lymph nodes were affected.
That's good.
Very good. And then I started the chemotherapy. And I remember when I interviewed oncologists, and you really have to choose an oncologist if you're newly diagnosed that you feel safe, and very comfortable with. The nurses, the women who spend the time with you, giving you your infusions, become your best friends in there. And I walked out of one office. She basically told me her mother died of the same exact cancer I had. She was just going to drug me up to oblivion. And I remember she had horrible perfumes. And I just hated everything about her and walked out.
Well, that's good. It's good. Yeah. You trusting your gut as well. You have to.
And you have to. And I hate to say this, but it's like a factory. And you just have to go your own way. And I did. I chose a plastic surgeon who was completely not with the cancer surgeon, who wasn't with the same company. I chose a UCLA doctor and a Hoag doctor. I just spread it out because that's who I felt comfortable with, my team. I remember there was a very young girl in the oncology office when they showed me the infusion room, and she looked anorexic and gray. Her arms looked gray to me. And I remember I physically felt sick and so scared that I started shaking because I thought, oh my God, I cannot be that gray girl. I cannot. Yeah. It was my biggest fear of life. The scariest day of my life was my first chemo treatment because I just needed it under my belt. I needed to know how will I feel. It just was very, very scary. But you know, your body is amazing and everything is doable if you keep your head on straight.
Absolutely.
But absolutely, it's definitely scary and only you can do it, no matter how much support or how great your doctors are. You have to go in there and say, okay, I have 6 more of these to go. Let's do it. You have to stay positive. If I could give any advice, that the number one thing is to stay positive.
I'm Dawn Damari, and Tracy Dean is still here. And thank you so much for sharing your story. And you were talking about people who've been newly diagnosed and people who are starting chemotherapy to stay positive. And that really helps, you know, with everything in life. I can see that, but I'm assuming it really helps with that too. So if you want to talk more about that and then your journey to healing.
Absolutely. Basically, I believe that if you stay very organized and on top of all of your medical bills and your appointments, and you have a group of people, a small group of people, it doesn't sometimes even have to be your family. Sometimes it'll end up being strangers, believe it or not, that you can talk to and you can hold accountable to help you, then that will help your journey tremendously. I had a calendar and I chose people to be with me for my treatments. And I remember they basically signed their name in blood that no matter what, they would be there. And I remember a very dear friend of mine, Christy, left her 6-month-old baby in Las Vegas with her mother because she was on the list for that chemo. and she flew in from Las Vegas for that one. And I remember I gave her the option to have out, you know, you just had the baby. And she said, absolutely not. I committed to this. So it's wonderful to have people that love you and are there for you. And mm-hmm. if you don't, then you have to love and care for yourself. And what I mean by that is to stay organized, to get plenty of rest, to give yourself a break, to not try to be superwoman, to write down what medications you're supposed to take at what times, keep a clean home, eat. One of the things, Dawn, that mm-hmm. is crazy to me, the cancer books on how to eat well during chemo are food I wouldn't eat ever.
What do they recommend?
They recommend feel-good foods, comfort really? Foods, just awful, greasy, fried chicken,
no.
pasta. I mean, there's some doctors that, of course, want you to eat healthy, but I would go to chemotherapy with nuts and very, very – I was more healthy during chemo than I am now with my food. I ate so healthy, and I would watch these women just gain weight. A lot of people gain a lot of weight during chemo. Or they lose a lot of weight, depending mm-hmm. on how they feel. But I just don't agree with how they tell you to eat. But I guess they're saying, whatever, you're doing this, so eat whatever you want.
Hmm.
But then you'll be overweight, bald, and just miserable more. It's just not a good idea.
So you were definitely keeping like the healthy eating?
Yes, very healthy eating. I actually did not have any alcohol, caffeine, sugar, or dairy during my treatments.
That sounds great. And do you think that probably helped you? I do.
I did, however, get extremely sick. My body just couldn't take it. I got down to about 96 pounds.
Wow.
I started out at 120 and wow. I did not finish my sixth round. They stopped it at number five. The number one job of an oncologist and the reason why we do chemotherapy is to kill the cancer. And the oncologist's job is to administer this medication without killing the person. So.
Right.
The chemotherapy had basically gone into a danger zone with me.
Wow.
So,
that's scary.
Yeah, it gets very scary. So that's why it's important to have a good doctor, too.
Yes.
Because chemotherapy is killing all good cells and bad yep. cells, just trying to find the cancer and hopefully mm-hmm. it gets it. But, you know, at the same time, the body that it's in is being affected tremendously. You get this type of wall, this funk called chemo brain.
Yeah, I've heard about this. What is chemo brain?
I describe it as jet lag, food poisoning, and being hungover all at the same time.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, pretty intense. You know, chemotherapy is disgusting. And then the way I describe it is I go to a grocery store and I start just filling up my cart with random things, no idea why. And then I just stop in an aisle and say, what am I doing here? And I don't want to be here anymore. And leaving mm-hmm. the cart and leaving the store.
Wow.
It just is too much. And you mm-hmm. forget what you're doing or why are you doing it. And it's almost like an early form of Alzheimer's.
Okay. Yes, that makes sense. That
yeah.
makes sense.
And I suffer with that now. It's lagged on, not as much now, but the first 2 years, it was brutal. I would leave keys in the door. I would lock it from the inside, but the next morning, the keys would still be in the door. That's why I mm-hmm. say you just stay as organized as possible
okay.
to help yourself.
So that's the advice you'd give to somebody who's maybe going through this and they're finding they have this chemo brain.
Yeah.
How to handle that? Just what would you recommend? The organization?
Being organized, getting plenty of rest, not to overload yourself with too much at one time,
mm-hmm.
giving yourself a break. But, you know, it's a brain funk. And I remember I never understood the expression hit the wall, but you
right.
literally hit the wall. You're done. And I still do that now. I hit the wall and I'm done. Whereas the old Tracy pre-cancer would push myself to then sickness, exhaustion, clumsiness, getting off balance when you push yourself too much. And I don't do that now. When I feel that feeling of hitting the wall, I stop.
Good.
I say no. No is a very important word now for me. No, I cannot do that. But I also think always being hydrated. A lot of us do not drink enough water. You have to stay hydrated in your everyday life. Water is so important. It's ridiculous. I try to drink. I go to the well in Corona Del Mar, a little plug for them. And I get a 3 gallon jug of water. My dog is almost 19 years old, by the way, and he has been drinking alkaline water since he's 10 years old. A body in an alkaline state is disease-free, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. I drink at least 3 gallons a week, or not even, I'd say 4 days.
And
I drink a lot of water. And when I was the sickest during chemo, when I would have to go in and get infusions of, you know, liquid, I was dehydrated from not drinking enough. So newly diagnosed and after diagnosis and going through all of it, hydration is key, I believe, in health and rest and no stress. And, you know, I'm a vegetarian since I'm 8 years old. It's funny because I like chicken now sometimes. I don't know why, but I believe protein is important.
And it seems like they're finding that.
And you can get protein in other ways. And I do. I eat a lot of whole grains and beans, and I eat a lot of vegetables. I make my dog's food. He eats a lot of protein, animal protein. And he eats every day carrots or sweet potato. He eats a lot of fruits and vegetables as well. And eating more than 3 times a day, eating throughout the day, is important, I believe, as well.
That's great. Now, so after you had finished your course of chemotherapy, how long has it been since you've been, I guess, cancer-free? How long ago was that?
After 5 years, they'll give you the thumbs up to be cancer-free.
Right. So now, it's almost, right?
Almost. It's 4 years in July. So I still have another year before they'll say I'm cancer-free. I've had a couple scares where I've gone back in and had some scans. The chemotherapy hurt my heart a little bit, a little valve got damaged, so I get echocardiograms every 6 months. The quality of my bones got a little bit damaged. I have arthritis. Nothing that I'm going to complain about because I'm here and I'm thriving.
Right.
But there's definitely residual skin problems. I lost 2 teeth. You know, you get very dehydrated, like I said, and the chemotherapy attacks bones, teeth, everything. That's another recommendation. Please get your teeth checked and cleaned before chemotherapy, because you cannot go to a dentist during chemotherapy and for like 6 months after.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, a lot of germs are in your mouth that affect your heart, your blood. And so basically I had a cavity prior to that. Anyway, I had to get the tooth pulled. It's in the back, so it's fine, but it bothered me. I believe that just the journey of going through something like that in a very weird way is a gift. Because it's almost like God putting you or the universe or whoever you believe in an elevator on the top floor and just free fall you down before it catches you on a wire. You have to take responsibility of yourself and your life and either come out of it very grateful or very bitter. And I came out of it extremely grateful. It's changed my life completely. I was a very much perfectionist before this. I was very short-tempered. I expected a lot from myself and other people. Mm-hmm. I did not take care of myself as well as I should have in response to honoring myself a little bit more and the others in my life. And now I do. I'm very grateful for the people in my life, and I've learned forgiveness for the people that aren't in my life, which forgiveness is such a healing emotion that I had no idea it was affecting me so much, whether it was for a family member or for that friend that you wish would have been there or could have been there and didn't. You just let it go. That's a great word. Let it go.
And that really probably helps as well, because that stress can be tied into, I guess, feeling, it's not really grudges, maybe that's the wrong word, but still carrying those emotions for when you feel either hurt or betrayed by a friend or a family member hurting you.
Oh, yeah.
You think letting go, does that help more with your stress and your
healing? Oh, absolutely. It's kind of like road rage. It's like, get out of my way. Honk, honk, honk. Screw you. Da-da-da. You know, flipping people off. Instead of just saying, oh, God, I hate this traffic. Or just looking at it from another way so your blood pressure doesn't skyrocket, so your body doesn't tense up. And I look at myself now and say, wow, I wish I didn't have to get cancer to be a better person now. But that's why I consider it a gift, because I like myself better today than I did before. And I have a lot more compassion. This is a big one, Dawn. So okay. I hope that whoever is going through this hears me. I have compassion more for vanity, I guess. I believed my looks got me opened doors for me. And I
know you are beautiful. You are very beautiful.
Well, thank you. I believe
that would happen.
As a younger girl, or, you know, just in general, I put so much emphasis on that. I now know that the reason I stayed through the door, or what the quality of me was, nothing to do with my looks. And when you're stripped, I mean, I remember sixth grade, I'm not going to school, my hair's not perfect, or
right.
Oh my God, I can't go to this amazing event because I have a zit. I mean, mm-hmm. Really shallow crap, right?
But we do this, and it's not our fault. It's society.
It's absolutely terrible. I have to laugh because I look at pictures that I just thought were so ugly, and now I'm like, God, you look good in those pictures.
I know, really. But it's the way we're conditioned. It's the way we grow up, especially as women.
Yes.
And so we put so much focus on that. So do you find that it's a little easier now going through all that?
Well, I remember the day that I tried to get dressed every day and go and do. And I remember I got a beautiful wig, and sometimes I wore it, and other times I just rocked a bald head. But what I'm saying is I don't miss opportunities anymore because of that, or because I don't feel like my weight's perfect or my hair. Mm-hmm. I stepped out bald as a baby's ass with blisters all over my face, no eyebrows, no eyelashes. I went back and, you know, did another mastectomy on my left breast as well, mm-hmm. on my right breast, excuse me. I had a scare and I just thought, why didn't I do this from the beginning? So back to my diagnosis, I would absolutely say, do it. Just cut them off. But yes, you're scarred. There are scars that are not pretty. And yes, you wish all of a sudden those beautiful boobs you had that you always wanted a boob job were your beautiful boobs again. Darn it. And mm-hmm. you just say to yourself, God, I had beautiful thick hair when I used to hate my hair. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you appreciate yourself and the beauty that you didn't know you had when you lose it.
That's true.
I just can't emphasize that enough, that it's so unimportant. And the social media and the filters and everything that people do.
Yes.
But I mean, listen, I do it sometimes as well.
Yeah, we all do.
But during cancer, I had a page called Team Tracy, and I shared the good, bad, ugly. I mean, I look at those pictures now and I say, wow, you were brave. I didn't touch up anything. I just said, look at me.
Well, that's good. And that's important for people to see that, because I think often everything's prettied up for social media, for the internet, for magazines. When you're going through something like that, you want to see. You look at yourself, well, what's wrong with me? Why don't I look like what's in the magazine? Why don't I look like this person who's probably touched up? No judgment for touching up.
Yeah. And I cried. I mean, I was very brave when I cut my ponytail off because my hair was just falling out and just mm-hmm. it hurt. Oh. Your head starts to hurt like dirty hair in a ponytail too long. At that point, you're just like, what am I doing? Just cut it off. I'm not going to beat the statistics. My hair is falling out. Mm-hmm. And I remember cutting that ponytail off, and I had about 12 friends there, and they all cried and said, you look beautiful. And I remember I brought a wig, and I walked out of there without the wig, and it was very freeing. There's something to be said about getting up every day and not worrying about it, just living your life, not putting on makeup, not doing your hair. And I don't wear makeup, only for events. On a daily basis, I have mm-hmm. no makeup on. I never have. The hair thing was my identity, and it was so great to not have that. That was a very big lesson for me, and I am not judgmental of others anymore either. Mm-hmm. I just accept you inside, because at the end of the day, that's who you are. I remember I was very bald, and I was out to dinner one night and talking to a very good-looking guy. And I was just me, and I excused myself and went into the bathroom and said, holy crap, I'm bald. I forgot. Oh. I completely forgot about me, my outer exterior, and just was having a great time being me, which is so important.
Hi, I'm Dawn Damari, and Tracy Dean is back and going to talk a little bit more about her journey surviving breast cancer. So Tracy, after all of the chemo, all of the trauma that your body went through, right now you're on a pathway to wellness. So maybe can you share some tips to other people who are going through this, or people who are curious, lifestyle tips for survivors?
Absolutely. One of the things that happens And it has happened to every girl that I was honored to meet during this journey that unfortunately also went through the treatments and everything. My sisters, you are in survival mode for so long that your number one every day is to survive, right?
Right.
And then everyone celebrates. Yay, you completed your chemo. Woo-hoo-hoo. And it's not so, because the real struggle starts. And that is with the residual effects and the building yourself back up. Because now you're like standing in front of a mirror, bald, naked, just what the heck just happened to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your support kind of moves on, believe it or not, because people are just as scared of chemotherapy as you are. And so now here you are. You have to rebuild your life, right? And you still got this mental funk and you still have such pains. And the residual of chemo is one on top of the other, one on top of the other. So your last one is pretty bad. Mine, 5. Some people, you know, most people do 6.
Mm-hmm.
God bless them. You're really affected by that last one, you know? And then you have to build yourself back up. It's like crawling out of hell, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're done. So you are responsible for that. And you have to give yourself a break. And I remember I was out every day trying to be strong. And then I went into a very big depression. And I had to say, okay, it's kind of like, really? I still have a life? Wait a minute. I just survived cancer.
Right.
Somebody should give me money.
Yeah, exactly.
I want a vacation. But no, guess what? You still have to work. You still have to pay your bills. You have a life. You have children. You have marriages, relationships that probably suffered. There's mm-hmm. like, this isn't fair. Poor me all of a sudden, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to get yourself out of this funk. And what is unfortunate is you are just on so many pills. There's a pill for your dizziness. There's a pill for vomiting. There's a pill for a headache. There's a pill for anxiety. There's a pill for depression. There is a pill for every single thing, okay, mm-hmm. in the Western medicine world.
Yep.
And if you take all these pills and you're depressed and you have chemo brain, you might as well just be a damn zombie because you're not coherent. Mm-hmm. And that's only going to lead to gross, but constipation, which is not eliminating these toxins from your body.
Right.
Which is very important. Depression more, because there's no light at the end of the tunnel when your brain is manipulated by these drugs. And halfway through is when I decided that I wasn't going to deal with that in a way. I still use the pills. I don't want to discourage that. It was just out of control how many pills I had, which is insane, right? So I still took the pills and I started more and more experimenting with CBD oil and I got off of the pills. But then I had my last surgery after the chemotherapy and took more pills again because the pain was bad. And I went through a depression, and that is when the path to my wellness started, with strictly throwing away all of the pills. And I treated my aches and pains all holistically from that moment on. I signed up for infrareds, which is, I don't understand exactly how it works, but it burns toxins from the inside out a little differently than a sauna. And I would do these hour sessions where I would just sweat all these toxins out. I went and did colonics. I actually had parasites.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's how, disgusting my body was inside from all the surgery, anesthesias, the chemotherapy, the drugs, the pills. It's just terrible stuff. Antibiotics, steroids, everything they give you. Listen, I'm not in any means. This is my journey, and I'm not trying to say don't do anything, because I did do it all. But mm-hmm. I say just experiment with what you feel like you want to do, right?
Right.
I started doing acupuncture and acupressure. Groupon saved me, by the way. Groupon's a fabulous tool when you don't have money. These things are expensive, and you can find these deals on Groupon, and please take advantage of them. Even if you have to drive the 40 minutes, go, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Stress. I learned how to meditate. I was very noise sensitive and light sensitive, and I've learned how, a little trick I can tell you if we have time, is mm-hmm. if you have, I live on the ocean. For me, right? But it's loud.
It is loud. It's beautiful, but loud.
Yes, and I live next door to a hotel, so there's a lot of tourists, which are a lot of children screaming every right. time they put their foot in the ocean. So it's just, So you have all these sounds and all these noises going on, and what I've learned to do is focus on the one noise that's bothering you, and then be aware of the other noise, and bring each sound. So you bring in the kid screaming, you bring in the wave, you bring in the air conditioner, or the fan. You just bring in all the sounds until they're just one sound. And find peace in that. And before you go to sleep, it's a good technique as well. I have just learned to cooperate with the universe. I know it sounds weird. And meditate. I meditate a lot at night before I sleep. And I give thanks and grateful. You know, I have a grateful heart. It's very, very important. You have to ask forgiveness for yourself if you've screwed up and didn't do everything properly or treated someone less than they deserved. Because listen, just because you survived cancer doesn't mean you're going to be a saint. You know, you're still... Right. You're human. But just having that grateful heart at night and meditation, yoga is fantastic, walking without headsets on, just listening. And I feel that the path to wellness in life is eating healthy. I still love cheesecake, nachos, margaritas, you know, not like I used to go crazy. Just enjoying life in not such a gluttonous way. You don't need everything you think you need, and you don't, you know, give yourself a break, give others a break, and try meditation first, try CBD. But in general, the path to wellness in my eyes is trying some holistic things. You can find these great, massage is excellent, you know, on Groupon, it's great if you're strapped for money, because like I said, these great things for you are not covered by insurance. Stretching, I'll tell you, Dawn, my favorite thing when I was bald, and I don't know if you remember doing this when you were a kid, but I love filling up a bathtub and just submerging your whole body underneath and just listening to the water or yes. the silence in the bathtub. Yes. And I love doing that. And I never used to because I don't want to blow dry my hair. But I'll tell you that just that stillness and quietness is so, even if you find 10 minutes a day, I recommend doing that. Trying to find a holistic approach before you run to the doctor, or stay off of Google, the internet, you know, don't try to self. I do it a lot, but try not to.
Yeah. Self-diagnosing.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah. With so much information out there, it's hard not to.
Absolutely. And just quiet time. I enjoy myself. I can be alone with myself, and I couldn't do that before. So I started a page when I was sick called Team Tracy D. I told you earlier, and I shared everything.
Yeah, I was going to ask where people can find out more information about.
It's Team Tracy D. It's a public page on Facebook. And I haven't really posted too much on it lately, but I did share my entire journey on there. And I still have people that say thank you for the page and for being so honest. And I shared everything. Please take a look at it and reach out to me by messenger on the Facebook page if you have any questions or need any tips. And you're not alone. There's always someone that has walked in your shoes, believe it or not. And the key to life is finding those people who will walk with you and help you out. And you can love yourself and enjoy your alone time and respect that, but open yourself up to other people and allow yourself to get help in any area of life. Ask for help, you know?
Absolutely.
It's important. A lot of people just do, give, and they need to learn how to get as well.
Absolutely. I agree with that. It was just wonderful to hear your story. And I'm hoping, and I'm assuming, I just know actually that people are inspired by it and can find their own pathway to healing by listening to your tips and working it into their life. And then checking out your Facebook page, Team Tracy D.
Yeah.
And they can reach out to you with questions if they want. And also if anybody has any questions, they can send it to me, to my email, and I can forward those questions to you, Tracy, if you don't mind. If someone
Absolutely
will reach
not. And I think what you're doing is wonderful, Dawn. And I remember meeting you. You interviewed me for your radio show back in the day.
I did.
I think I had a wig on that day.
And I couldn't tell. That's the thing. You always think everyone can tell. I couldn't tell.
And I just think that another thing I didn't mention is that with the estrogen-related cancer that I had, supposed to be on a blocker. A hormone blocker called tamoxifen. And I'm supposed to take that for the next 5 years. And I opted not to, which is very controversial. And is frowned upon, but it was a decision that I decided to do as well. And I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying it's my choice. I just do not want any more drugs in my body. And I feel like if chemotherapy damaged me that badly, then if it didn't kill the cancer, then oh well, because I'm not taking any more drugs.
Yep. No, I understand that.
So, you know, you have to just find your own way, and you have to mix some kind of conventional medicine too in your routine. You just, you do actually. And some people argue with that, but.
Yeah, no, I think that there's a bridge there. That's why another reason I'm doing this podcast is finding that balance between the two. Because both are needed.
I just don't want to come off as like, no drugs, but no drugs. I'm done.
Great. Thank you, Tracy, for joining me today. And again, if anyone has any questions, reach out to Tracy on her Team Tracy D Facebook page. You can use Messenger or you can email me and I'll forward your questions on. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you and have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to A Teaspoon of Healing with Dawn Damari, your home for wellness and vibrant living. For more resources on wellness and vibrant living, visit us online at teaspoonofhealing.com. This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute medical advice. Please consult a physician or other health professional before undertaking changes in lifestyle or wellness habits. The author claims no responsibility to any person or entity for any liability, loss, or damage caused or alleged to be caused directly or indirectly as a result of use, application, or interpretation of the information presented herein.